Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and that is Basic Gospel. We're here to invite you to stay tuned to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go direct to our phone lines and talk with Scott, listening to us in Lodi, New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, Doc?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
You know, I love your program. I don't get to listen to it every day. A lot of times I'm on the road up here, but... You know, I'd like to address the question you asked earlier was, you know, how do we experience the freedom, that freedom from the sinful desire and sinful nature? And I've been blessed. I've got a wonderful pastoral team at my church, and WMCA is full of gospel-preaching pastors that I'm blessed with every day. And Dr. R.T. Sproul recently said something about the human heart, man's heart, is really our detriment, where the pool of all human insanities are within the heart. You know, all the rape and incest, the murder, lying, thieving. And it tells us through the Word that it's a renewal of the mind, but it's really a, God puts it in us in a new heart. And then the circumcision of the heart is the psychological change, the mental change, the change of our soul and spirit. And one of my pastors, she's so awesome, to put it this way, is when we can bring our flesh in agreement with our spirit and, you know, use the Holy Spirit as our God conscious, as a discerning part of life, this is really where true freedom starts happening from the sinful nature. And praise God, the only one that can change the heart is Him.
That's exactly right. And that's what He did at new birth. We were given a new heart at new birth. That's the wonder of being born again of the Spirit of God. And now we have this opportunity for our minds to be renewed so that our minds can now be in alignment with God's truth that's being revealed to us each and every day. And that gives us the power to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. So Scott, I think you're spot on with your commentary there.
Amen. And that freedom comes peace. And I would testify that peace from God is, there is none other. You can't purchase it. You can't. There's nothing you can take externally to give you the kind of peace that He can put on us. I just praise Him every day, and I bless and praise your. Praise Him for your show. You know, you guys are so well scripted in the Word and bring that to life. And that's how we grow our faith, you know, grow our faith by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.
Well,
I just was totally blessed and want to share with you all that the Lord put my message into my heart. That He's so wonderful of how, you know, He gives us that freedom. And I praise God that, you know, still I have struggles, but, you know, I go to Him for that strength. In my weakness, He is strong. And I'm praise Him for that.
Absolutely. Well, that really touches on the whole secret to living the Christian life, and that's through abiding in the resurrected One. As we abide in Him, we will see the fruit of His life being lived out in us. So, Scott, thank you for joining us on today's program. We certainly appreciate your comments and your wonderful encouragement. And let me put you on hold, Scott, and we'll send you a copy of this resource, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. You hang on, okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Hey, you do as well.
And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of Forgiveness, The Door to Life, we have one for you. For a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel, simply go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Just ask for the Forgiveness booklet, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Right now, plenty of open lines. If you'd like to pose your question, we'd like for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Give us a call. That number, 1-800-677-9377. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Warren, who writes to us from Averill Park, New York. He says, through the death of Jesus on the cross, we've had our sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow all forgiven eternally, and no more sins are forgiven without the shedding of blood. Jesus died once for all. Why, then, do the churches repeat the Lord's Prayer during the church service? Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He says, I stumble over that and say, thank you for forgiving my trespasses against others. What do you say about this?
Well, I think he's got it right as far as saying, thank you for forgiving me, because Jesus just died once. He shed his blood once for all sin, and we need to rest in that. Under the old covenant, there was sacrifices made daily, and then there was the annual Day of Atonement where the sins of the people were taken care of for that previous year. Now, the problem with that is they started piling up again the very next day, and so more sacrifices had to be offered. But all of that Old Testament system was a shadow of what Christ was going to do. And when he died on the cross, his sacrifice was sufficient to not only cover sin, but to take away sin once and for all. So in this new covenant, we simply rest in Jesus' finished work, and our hearts should overflow with thanksgiving and gratitude for what he has accomplished. And the good news of this new covenant is simply this, that God remembers our sins no more, and the reason he says that is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. In this new covenant, there's nothing that you can take to the temple as a sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice has done it all. You're not going to bring a better sacrifice than that. So your only option is to rest in what Jesus Christ has done. And it also brings up, I think, a significant point as far as the Lord's Prayer is concerned. It states that we ask God to forgive us as we are forgiving others. Now, we just repeat that as a formula. Oh, we're supposed to do that. But in doing so, we don't even listen to what the prayer is.
Yeah.
If we're sincerely praying that, God is going to say to us, well, are you out forgiving others? Oh, wait a minute. Hold up, Trigger. I didn't know I was really supposed to do that. I thought just repeating the prayer was going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
No, we're talking about a heart issue. Are you bitter inside? Are you letting go of that bitterness and reaching out in forgiveness to others who have wronged you? Well, heavens no, Lord. Well, then you're not there yet. And you won't be there until I do something inside of you. Because that heart of yours, in its lost condition, is filled with all kinds of junk. Junk that's not good, as Jesus said in Matthew. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. And you notice that forgiveness isn't in there.
No.
Forgiveness is not in a man's heart. We are not naturally born forgivers. The only way that we can forgive others is first receiving the forgiveness of God. And that's what Jesus was trying to point out to us in that Lord's Prayer. But once he died, and once this new covenant was put into place, he completely says something different. Forgive others as God in Christ has, past tense, forgiven you. So now forgiveness has been placed in our hearts by the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we have something to pass on to others. That is one of the most significant things that we can embrace as believers in Christ, this new covenant that we live in, this forgiveness that we have in Christ. Then we will truly be able to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us.
Yeah. Calls on the board, but still plenty of room for you. Time on the clock as well. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to New Orleans and talk with Ann, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ann.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, good to speak to you again. Yes, what I was calling about was a scripture in the book of Ruth, when Boaz instructs Ruth to go down to the threshing floor where Boaz is threshing his wheat and actually lay down on the bed beside him, or at his feet. And I always found that very weird, because to me that was put her in a very vulnerable position, both of them. That's something, you know, well, illicit could happen. Do you have any take on that or any comments?
Well, Ann, one thing, as you were talking, that sounded weird. There's a lot of stuff that you read in the Old Testament that sounds weird to our 21st century minds. We just don't get it. We don't get what was the tradition, convention back in those days. So there's a lot of stuff that's a wee bit weird as far as that is concerned. But Richard, in light of that, what was this all about?
Well, there was actually a lot of tradition in this, and it's not like she showed up in a flimsy nightie. I mean, she was clothed, and what she was doing was giving him the opportunity to cover her, to protect her. He was the kinsman redeemer, and that's the title of it. He was the person who could take the place of dead husbands and all of that because of the way the families worked. You didn't want to leave women unprotected if their husbands died, and so a husband's brother or some relative. And Boaz was the logical choice. And what Boaz discovered is that there was someone else who was closer in relation who could claim that right, and so he dealt with all of this in a very upright way, and they carried out what was actually in the Mosaic Covenant in terms of protecting Ruth and protecting Naomi and dealing with marriage in a proper way. And he was very honorable in all of this. He did cover her.
That's what I'm saying. Humans are humans.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When we have these desires, I mean, we all have them, and there's two young people with them, and the opportunity's there. And that very well could have happened. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yes, but their society was very different than our society. In our society, I would never encourage my daughter to do this. In their society, you could.
No, I have a granddaughter, so I sure would tell her to do that.
Yeah.
Certainly not today. But point out the purpose of a kinsman redeemer and really what that points to as far as Christ is concerned.
Well, This complicated idea of family within Judaism, and when you've got a woman who has been married to a Jewish man and he dies, it was very difficult for a woman to continue in life because she didn't own property, and there needed to be something that protected that woman and made it possible for her to live, and so Boaz played that role. And when you think about where we are before we meet Jesus, and in the role that he played, I mean, we were, it's like our husband in total, as a human race, our husband had died. We lost our relationship with God, and Jesus comes along, and he plays that role of kinsman redeemer by covering us with himself, with his own righteousness, with his own love, with his own grace, and he restores us to relationship that we had lost because of the death in the family.
Yeah, so it's truly a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride, and the fact that the bride puts her whole trust into his care. It's just one of the most beautiful pictures in the Word of God.
Yeah, I agree. I understand the whole thing. I was just thought that was a little strange way to put her in that position. It was rather dangerous, it seemed to me.
Well, it's strange with our thinking because we know our society. It was a proper thing to do in their society.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Ann,
And
also the idea of us entrusting ourselves to Jesus Christ, that's a strange idea in this world today.
That's
true. That's the whole point. Okay, Ann, thanks for your call.
Good question. Interesting conversation. Plenty of time on the clock remaining. 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you.
Let's go to El Paso, Texas, and talk with John, listening to us on KELP. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is, do you believe that a person can be born as a homosexual?
Well, John, we're all born dead.
Choice of life?
Spiritually. We're all natural-born sinners. That lost condition manifests itself in numerous ways, homosexuality being one of those ways. So usually with homosexuality, something happens early in life that activates the flesh in a certain way. And once the flesh is activated in a certain way, it's going to continue down that path. And it's always going to want more. And that's where we get the idea that maybe somebody was born homosexual. But the fact of the matter is that we were born dead spiritually, separated from the life of God. We were controlled by the fleshly desires, and the world system tugs on those fleshly desires in all sorts of ways. So what's the solution to that? Well, the solution isn't embracing your natural fleshly desires. The solution is embracing Christ Jesus and experiencing new life in Him. He's the only one that can free us from the power of sin and death in our lives. That's why He truly is our Savior, the one who rescues us from our sins.
Well, I totally kind of agree with you. Some of the part else, but I did not agree with you about so-called the it's a natural desire of the flesh. The reason why I say that is that my son knew something that was wrong with him, but he did not know exactly what it was. He did not like it. Finally, he actually realized that something happened at birth, or something happened somewhere, no genes, whatever happened to him, he said. But I do not like it, the feeling I have. And he told his mother that he wished he was never born, that and he wished he was not the way he was. But there's nothing he can do about it. It was nobody else's fault. But it was not a choice of life, put that away.
Well, when I'm talking about the flesh, I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about that sin quality that's in all of us. That sin quality produces in us stuff that none of us like. I mean, there's sexual immorality of all flavors, of all kinds, and there's no one that.
The part I was really want to get at is that do you think or do you believe that a person can be born through whatever process that the body went through or whatever of the maybe some genes, maybe I don't know, the different type of hormones during birth or whatever that took place, and he is a homosexual without a choice. So,
well, John, I don't necessarily agree with that. I know there are people that have all kinds of feelings, and they've had those feelings for as long as they remember, and so they feel like that, you know, since that's true, this is just the way God made me, and so this is what I'm left with, even though I don't like it and maybe want to escape from it. It's just the way it is. Now I can't explain where those feelings come from, other than the fact that you know, it's just a byproduct of sin that came into this world. But I do know we don't have to resign ourselves to those feelings. You know, John, I've dealt with people, you know, of all walks of life that have been involved in all types of sexual immorality. And it doesn't matter if it's of the homosexual time or if it's pornography or if it's something else, you know, there's this consistency and all that say, I don't know how to get out of this. I just feel like this is who I am. This is the way I just have to be, and I don't know how to escape it. So I see that same sentiment, with everybody that's kind of struggling with sexual immorality, and it's the intensity of that kind of ebbs and flows and all of that, and you got to come to the point and realize that that doesn't define who I am. That's not my identity. So what your son is saying is, because I feel this way, then therefore I am a homosexual. And what God would say is, you're just simply a sinner who is lost and dead spiritually. And you sense that in these homosexual feelings. But look deeper and realize that there's a more significant problem, and that problem has a solution. And you can gain a new identity through faith in Jesus Christ. And that identity is defined by what Christ has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I know that's easier said than done, because this identity that he's latched on to, or that has latched on to him, let's say it that way. There's an identity that's latched on to him, that's defining him by those feelings. That's hard to escape. Why? Because that becomes your way of thinking. And so it takes the power of God's Spirit to break through that and to help somebody see themselves in light of what Christ has done. And as long as he wears that identity of homosexuality, whatever he reads in the Word of God, he will look and say, this doesn't apply to me.
Well, he is a pretty well devout Christian. I mean, he believes in Christ. He wants to, do the right things. He does attend services. He does read the Bible. He does anything else. But he says that I don't know what else to do.
Well, John, he said, here's what I think the problem is. The flesh is always going to be the flesh. I can't make it anything different. And so those feelings, those flesh-driven feelings, are going to be there. And they're going to, like I said, ebb and flow with intensity. But those feelings and that flesh doesn't define who you are. And I think that's one of the most difficult things for us to really understand. But once we do, then we can experience freedom. Well, John, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold. Let's send you some resources, and a great conversation. And I really appreciate your heart and the way you've brought this to the table. And I hope this conversation has been helpful. But let's continue it, okay, my friend? You hold on.
Thanks, John. And thanks to everybody for joining us. Just a quick reminder of the great little booklet that we've produced for you. It's called Forgiveness, the Door to Life, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828, that's 1-800-727-2828, and ask for the Forgiveness booklet. Or you can visit us online to request your copy and make your contribution at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. The other resources we talk about on Basic Gospel are also available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Also, for late news about the ministry, including upcoming events and new study resources, click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net to join our email list. To serve you, that's why we're on the air every day. Your phone calls are the reason for a live broadcast. We love hearing from you, and we encourage you to call as often as you have questions or issues that you'd like to discuss. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time and invite you to call then. Until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel staff, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you and good day from Dallas. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.